This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham.
Welcome everyone back to HeartWise. We want to especially welcome our listeners in Australia who are joining us from down under. I recently was on a cruise boat in the Mediterranean, and there are many wonderful Aussies there, and I learned a lot about your cultures, and we want to welcome you especially to HeartWise today. And we have a special program today as we explore ways that we can heal the body. We know that there's a place for modern medicine. We know that there's a place for lifestyle, but it's in that relationship with the Heavenly Father that we can find ultimate healing. And with that today, we have Lynn Eeb, and I hope I'm saying that correct. And if I'm not, I'm sure I'm going to hear about that. Lynn, is that correct?
It's pretty close.
Ian Eib. But she is an author of the Tyndale best-selling When God and Cancer Meets. She is very special in that she's actually gone through cancer, and I'm sure we're going to hear about some of that today. Well, she has written a very special book, and it's really a treatment. And when we talk about how medicines change a body's chemistry, well, we're learning more and more about how our mind changes our chemistry as well. And she's written 50 Days of Hope by Lynn Eib, and it's a daily inspiration for your journey through cancer. It's been published by Tyndale, and her website is cancerpatientadvocate.com. And Lynn, we want to welcome you to HeartWise and tell us a little bit about your journey and what has led you to write these books that are actually changing people's chemistry just like medications would.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it today. I have to say that for the last about 22 years, I've been on a journey I never would have chosen, but mm-hmm. It's been one that in retrospect, that I'm glad God chose for me. I was diagnosed back in 1990 at the age of 36 with colon cancer, and it was not caught early. It was spread into several of my lymph nodes, mm-hmm. and I needed surgery and chemotherapy. The odds that I would survive were less than the odds that I would not, but very thankfully, by God's grace, I am still here. And then back in 1996, my oncologist, who is a Messianic Jew, a Jew who believes in Jesus as his Messiah, he hired me to be a patient advocate in his office and offer emotional and spiritual support to his patients. So that's what I've been doing.
Wow.
I think I've met about 2,500 newly diagnosed cancer patients over the years here, and it's just an awesome job and a chance to help heal the whole person, as you talk about body, mind, and mm-hmm. spirit. And it's the way I got into writing books was I just kept seeing these amazing things happen in people's lives, either physically or maybe spiritually or emotionally, and I would write them down because my background's a newspaper reporter.
Right.
I just couldn't stop myself. I would take notes about it, and finally, somebody said, you know, that's really a book. You ought to write these stories. So that's the way my books have evolved. They're reporters, an account from a reporter of what I've seen God do in people's lives and how I've seen him give hope and certainly bring ultimate healing, too.
Wow. So not only you live this every day. I mean, it's very exciting what you must go through. And we want to, as we go through today, also give some practical advice to people, because almost everyone's affected by cancer in some way, shape, or form.
I believe so. There's over 4,000 people every day are newly diagnosed with cancer in the United States. That's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure all the people that are related to them or work with them or live next door to them. It's pretty unusual for somebody not to know someone who has cancer. You know, you take a look at your church bulletin, and usually there's a big prayer list there of people with cancer. So I do think that it's the one disease that most all of us know somebody that's going through it and needs to find hope.
Right. Lynn, you wrote 50 Days of Hope. Why did you choose 50 Days?
Oh, that's so funny. I keep getting asked that question.
Yeah, because, you know, 30 days, I could month, you know, 50
exactly,
days.
Exactly, I know. Well, you know, I wish I had this incredibly profound spiritual answer for you, but if you want to know the truth,
yes,
it's a nice round number, you know, and I was thinking about it, and 100 seemed like too many. I just didn't know if I could write 100 stories that way. And I thought, well, 30 didn't seem like quite like enough. And then there were a lot of books. 40 is kind of a spiritual number in the Bible. And I thought, I don't know if I want to use that. So I just kind of picked 50 and went with it. And I pitched it to my publisher. And I said, you know, you want a different number? And they said, no, 50 is good. That's kind of how it came up with. And that's how it worked together. But hopefully it gets people, if they're brand new diagnosed, it gets you through just about those first couple months. And for people other times, it at least gives you several weeks of, you know, encouragement each day.
Yeah. We're talking today on HeartWise with Lynn Ibe, and she's written 50 Days of Hope, Daily Inspiration for Your Journal Through Cancer. And it's available, I'm sure, by going to her website, cancerpatientsadvocate.com. It's also, you can go to Tyndale. You're probably in some bookstores all across America. And if you want to give someone a little hope and a little change of chemistry, I've read through it. This is definitely going to be something that is added to the treatment regimen of everyone I know with cancer. And Lynn, as we go on, everyone runs into people with cancer for now and then. And, you know, what is sort of the best thing to do when running into someone with cancer? You know, what can we do to help them? You know, what's the best thing to say or do when someone says, oh, I just have cancer? You know, it's a shocker.
Mm-hmm. It is. And one of the things I think is important is that there isn't one standard way that everyone who receives a cancer diagnosis all reacts in the same way. And there's not some exact linear progression of emotions. Today you feel this, tomorrow you feel that, and the next day. Everybody's different. You know, we each bring our own history, our own emotional baggage, just everything, and it affects how we respond to cancer. So I think it's best, when you know somebody that's gotten diagnosed with cancer, not to make assumptions that, oh, they must be feeling such and such, or they must not be feeling this, because it's hard to say. So I think it's best to take our cues from the person. And I usually ask questions that give people a chance to talk if they want to, or if they don't want to share much, they don't have to. And I might say something like, wow, I imagine this feels kind of overwhelming, or, you know, this feels, you know, a little bit scary, you know, or something. Give them a chance to verbalize their feelings. And then that way, if they want to, they will. I was talking with a patient a couple of days ago, and he's not somebody that really has particularly any kind of strong faith. And I just kind of said to him, I said, is it hard to feel God's love for you right now when you're dealing with this brain tumor? And this great big guy, he just started bawling, just crying, weeping. And I'd hit it right on the head. You know, he was having trouble feeling God's love. So I just kind of said a question that gave him a chance to respond, and then we had something to talk about. So I try to take my cues from the person that way and not just assume I know how they're feeling. And another thing I think is really important is to ask patients, newly diagnosed patients and their family members, or even people dealing with recurrences, ask them, is there a certain time of day or a certain time in the week or something that I can pray for you, something that's particularly hard? Sometimes patients have trouble falling asleep at night, or sometimes they, in the morning, you know, it's a difficult time, or maybe it's during their treatment time, whatever. And I know I had chemotherapy every week, and I found it so encouraging, so empowering to know that there was one special person that was praying for me every week at that time during my chemo. And those are the kind of specific prayers I think are helpful.
You know, what I've noticed, I'm a cardiologist, and I've noticed that when you start talking about, you know, our communication in this world seems to be lacking. You know, people don't talk and expose themselves, you know, through this media world that we live in. You know, people just don't talk. But when you have to talk about something serious like this and you bring it up, sometimes you open a floodgate of communication that's you're not even expecting. Mm-hmm. It's just there and it just happens. And you touch chords like you did in this gentleman that just really, really surprising. I mean, so that's amazing. We're about ready to go to break right now, but we're here with Lynn Ibe. She's written 50 Days of Hope, Daily Inspirations for Your Journey Through Cancer. And if you might know a loved one that has cancer or you're suffering through cancer, this is a must read in helping you cope through this. And we want you to stay with us on HeartWise. We're going to be right back after this short break. Stay with us. If you have any questions, go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org.
I sick?
How can I get off my medications?
How do I get better?
How can I have ultimate healing?
The Ultimate Prescription by Dr. James L. Markham answers these questions and introduces the reader to the ultimate prescription for our lives. This book is available at your local bookstore or online at Amazon.com.
I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the HeartWise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by heartwiseministries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of HeartWise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on heartwiseministries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's heartwiseministries.org.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I talk to patients every day who want to know the truth in healthcare. On our website, heartwiseministries.org, you can have your questions answered. You can read my blog where I talk about interesting and controversial subjects in medicine. You might choose to go to the radio or television sections and learn more about all sorts of health topics. Take the time and go to heartwiseministries.org.
I'm Dr. James Markham. I want to welcome you back to HeartWise. We've been talking about cancer today, and specifically we have Lynn Ibe, who's written 50 Days of Hope, Daily Inspirations for Your Journey Through Cancer. And Lynn's actually a cancer, I guess, I don't know whether we should say survivor or cancer-free or, you know, I don't know the correct term. What's the correct term for that, Lynn?
They usually call you cancer survivor. I'm definitely cancer-free. I call myself cured. I haven't really found any doctors that have used that term, but yeah. I like to use it, so I do for myself.
And it looks like this has changed your whole life.
It really has. You know, it's one of those unwanted journeys I never would have chosen, but yeah. I am glad that God knew what he was doing when he allowed something really bad to happen to my life because he had a plan for something really good.
That's incredible. You know, cancer is such a hard disease to manage. You know, we talked on this program about early diagnosis and lifestyle changes. And here you've written a book, 50 Days of Hope. We know that hope changes chemistry, but some people might be able to use this book to help friends where they can't communicate. Can you just sort of discuss how you've written this book to do more than just help people cope through cancer?
Yes, I appreciate that question. Because my heart is definitely to encourage people that have faith and help them draw closer to God. But I also have a real desire to reach people that aren't particularly people of faith, people mm-hmm. that maybe sort of nominally believe in God, but as far as that personal relationship with Him that you often talk about, they don't have that. They don't really even know what it is.
Right.
And I wanted a book that would share that without scaring people, without beating them over the head, into that truth, and just would gradually share that and just allow God through His Spirit to bring them along and bring them to that truth and that ultimate healing. So I just selfishly wanted a book like that to hand people,
yeah.
and now I've got one, and I'm just so excited because it's just a neat little gift book, and people every day are buying it and mm-hmm. giving it to somebody that they know, that they care about, that they're trying to share God's truth and God's hope, and they don't know how to do it or haven't been successful in the past, and I'm excited to see what God's going to do with this.
I'm excited, too, because, you know, we're always looking for new ways to treat people, to make them healthy. And here in this book, 50 Days of Hope, you know, a lot of people don't think of words as changing chemistry, but we know when thoughts change, chemistry changes, the prefrontal lobe in the brain changes, mm-hmm. the limbic system gets turned down. So, you know, actually this book, it can change body's chemistry just like a medicine might.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think, you know, what we tell ourselves and what we feed ourselves is like our own personal little pharmacy there, you know, mm-hmm. and it affects that truth, and definitely affects us physically, no doubt about it.
Yeah, now this brings, I have an interesting thing to ask you here. Now, why don't you believe that cancer patients and their caregivers need to stay positive? You know, you always hear about, you know, you got to be positive, you can't get this. And, you know, I've talked about that before, you know, if you're depressed, your chemistry's bad, you know. Why do you think that they don't have to be positive all the time?
Well, I just sort of differentiate between being positive, being optimistic, and being positive all the time.
Okay.
Because I think that's an important distinction. And I think we need to be realistic. And to tell somebody, especially someone that's just been diagnosed with cancer, you got to be positive, you got to think positive, I want to say, why? Why do I have to do that right away? Can I be a little sad? Can I cry? Can I allow myself to feel those emotions that I believe God's put in each of us?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to be true to those emotions. And to stuff them all down there immediately and say, okay, everything's going to be right, I'm going to be positive, I think is not as healthy. I think it's go ahead and have a good cry. A good cry, you feel better afterwards. You know, you get the tears out. And God gave us, you know, tears are different. There's regular tears and there's emotional tears.
Right.
And I think it's good to let those tears out. So being positive is wonderful, but we all know people with very positive attitudes who have not been cured of cancer or some other disease. So it's not like it's a guarantee because you think positive, everything's going to be okay physically. And I just like to take the pressure off people that you don't have to be up all the time. If you're having a hard time or a hard day, I think it's best to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Psalms in the Bible, those people weren't just positive all the time. They were honest with God. God, where are you? Why can't I feel you? What's going on? And I think that's even healthier than trying to pretend we're positive all the time. So that's how I differentiate there.
Well, that's great. Brutally honesty. You see that in the Bible over and over, you know. David was brutally honest.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think that we live in this sheltered cocoon world that, you know, we don't want to face reality and be honest with ourselves and our feelings. And that hurts us too.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, reading through your book, okay, an interesting thing that you encourage folks to circle the wagons. Now, what do you mean by circling the wagons?
Well, I guess that's kind of an old expression,
yeah.
even before my time. I'm getting fairly old, but I wasn't alive in the stagecoach and the covered wagon kind of days. But that's kind of if you watch the Westerns, you know, when there was impending doom coming, they would call out to people and circle the wagons, and they'd come together, and it was easier for them to fend against their attackers because they were circled up together and they had each other's backs and they were strengthening each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that cancer patients and their caregivers need to do is don't just go it alone. You know, mm-hmm. we have a tendency to want to be independent and, oh, I don't want to bother anybody. I don't want help from anybody. I don't want to need that. And I think that when we do that, we miss chances that we have for God to minister to us and to strengthen us. And I think we need to get as many people as we can on our team, on our support. Come along, let them circle the wagons with you, and be in this together with other people, and not let our pride get in the way of allowing somebody else the blessing, mm-hmm. really, of helping us. And that's what we do when we refuse to allow other people to join that circle there and help us in our fight against cancer or whatever disease we're dealing with.
Yeah. Now, in your daily work, you know, these books, I'm talking with Lynn Ibe today. She's written 50 Days of Hope. It's published by Tyndale. Her website is cancerpatientsadvocate.com, but she's also seeing patients every day in the office. And, you know, where do you start? I mean, you know how it is. A lot of modern medicine, we have an algorithm. You know, when this happens, you do this. When this happens, you do that. But I'm sure when you first have to work with someone with cancer, there's no algorithms. How do you understand what a person needs and what's needed to be said and how to reach each person? It seems like it's so different. How do you know whether your work and what's being done is heading in the right direction?
Well, what we do here is very unusual as having a patient advocate in the office. It might even be unique in the country. We haven't found anybody else with anyone quite like me. But what I do here that helps me to figure out kind of spiritually what's going on or not going on in somebody's life as soon as I meet them, we have a patient health history. I'm sure you have similar form for your patients that they fill out with lots of details about things. And one of the questions that we ask two questions actually, is religion, and we leave a blank, and then we ask a second question, how important to you is your spiritual faith? And then we put a blank there. And by those answers, that helps me before I meet a new patient to kind of sense, you know, what's going on in that person's life. If somebody says, you know, oh, I'm a Christian and my faith is the most important thing in my life, that lets me know, I call it a green light, that I can talk easily with them about those kinds of things and pray with them, suggest the doctor pray with them, those kinds of things. If someone else says they have no faith and their religion is not important to them, you know, or anything at all, I call that a red light. Okay. And I pray for that person, but I probably won't, you know, I certainly won't just talk as easily about spiritual matters. I will wait to see and pray that they'll bring up some things. And sometimes it's kind of a yellow light in between. You know, somebody says they have a little bit of faith, and that gives me a chance to talk with them in the future. I know the other day one of the patients I was visiting in the hospital, on his form, he had said he didn't have any faith and he didn't say anything about it being important to him. So I simply asked him, I said, do you have any spiritual beliefs that are helping you cope with your cancer?
Right.
And that way, you know, it's a pretty non-judgmental question. As soon as I asked this question, this gentleman began to cry. Mm. And he said, I'm really trying to. And he had no clue, no idea about the Bible, about anything.
Wow.
And it was a good opening then, you know, for me to be able to talk about the kinds of truths that we can know that make a difference when we face cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I do it that's in our place. Office or the people that I meet with. But lots of prayer, and I try to see where God's working in somebody's life and join him there. I think Henry Blackaby wrote about that and experiencing God.
Lynn, I hate to interrupt, but we're all out of time today.
Oh.
I want to invite our listeners, go to our website, heartwiseministries.org, to learn more about Lynn's book.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.